was a relatively small group. And the conversation is usually, it's not ever directed. It kind of, different organizations report on what's going on with their particular organization and whether they have any concerns that they want to share. So it's really just, it's mostly a clearinghouse of information. But this particular meeting I thought was noteworthy. Ben Ransom always comes. He is our youth policeman for River Forest. And he does a really fine job. I think it might be interesting to just bring him to a meeting sometime and ask him to introduce himself and talk a little bit about what he does. But he does a lot of education, substance abuse and stranger danger. And he was talking specifically about cyberbullying in this meeting and about some of the issues associated with it. And it's very interesting to listen to somebody who's really on the firing line with figuring out the implications of some of these things that the kids do and trying to figure out how to prevent involvement before it happens. So I think he's doing a very fine job, and it might be interesting to bring him in and have him talk to the board sometime.
Sure. All right, thank you. Board liaison.
PTO council is meeting on Friday. I don't think we have not met since the last meeting.
Right.
So there's nothing to report.
Inclusiveness advisory board?
We met, was it last month or earlier this month?
January.
In January. And it was a very productive conversation where we talked about what IAB has done over the last, I think, 5 years, and where we really think the future of the committee is headed, what some of the vision that we had, and broke into small groups to have some of these discussions, did some didactic listening, where you're not allowed to respond in any way to what the other person is saying, which is very challenging. But it was, I thought it was a very good meeting, and there were some good things that came out of it.
Looking to stay focused and actuate. Inclusiveness advising, so River Forest Civic Association.
Yeah, so just looking at different ideas on just their organizational structure and just trying to figure out next steps going forward.
Parade's right around the corner. Citizen Corps Council?
Nothing as of yet, but he just moved across the street from me, so I have him in my grasp.
All right. West Cook Governing Board, nothing to report there. Ed Red?
Yeah, for the first time in a long time, I was not able to make Ed Red, so they had a meeting, but
well, we went to the one before that, right? And
we did the legislative dinner.
Mentioned the TIF revision or legislation around TIF districts and either shortening that
proposed
window or, that's out there.
Okay.
I don't think anything's retroactive.
No.
In the law. So.
Not
going
to happen.
Oh, well. All right. River Forest Subcommittee on Collaboration.
Has not met. I'm still working on arranging a time to sit down with Kathy Aducey and talk a little bit about potential for involving that group with discussions on early childhood. And I know that that's going to come up later on in connection with strategic planning. I know that some of those things are beginning to interconnect. I know there are common interests in doing more with early childhood. So I will continue to pursue that. Kathy has been out of town, and I have not been able to arrange a time to talk with her, and that is my first step before we try to reconvene the subcommittee. Positive Youth Development met this morning, and several there were several different topics of conversation, including working out an additional, or a screening for screenagers to be shown, I believe, at District 200. I think the high school is going to show that movie. And all of our various organizations are going to promote it because it's very worthwhile material and I think would be thought-provoking for our parents to talk about the impact of tech. And it talks more than the first screenagers. It talks about anxiety and mental health. And you know, some of those topics come up a lot in conversation around town. And also dates are being set for a spring version. I think the date has been arrived at. I think it's April 21st for another round of Parent University. I know that some of you did attend those meetings when they were held. Let's see, was it in the fall? And we're looking at probably the same format for that evening. It would be three different time slots to discuss various kinds of topics of interest. Talked about tech and cell phones before. And it was interesting. I mentioned in connection with Ben's comments at the Youth Network Council, I brought up that it might be interesting to bring in speakers to talk about social media and the fact that many kids have their own social media accounts and then they have a ghost account under a different name. And there are ways to find these. And I think parents are interested in having more opportunities to get information on how all of that works and you know, to talk with each other about ways that they might become more involved with kids' social media consumption. So that may be a topic for Parent University, but they're working on topics and speakers for April 21st. And Positive Youth Development continues to develop messaging regarding primarily alcohol, and I believe that the Parent University is also going to have a section devoted to prom activities and conversation, possibly the Lake House conversation, as a topic for some of that. Let's see. So those things kind of overlap. And I guess that's all I wrote. Well, yes, Positive Youth Development is developing new messaging, including talking with a group of young people who are helping them put together messages on anti-alcohol, and they're going to be talking about marijuana as well. So those conversations are ongoing. I think that's all I have.
All important topics.
Mm-hmm.
River Forest School District 90 Education Foundation met.
We try board equity.
Try board equity. Nothing to report there.
Okay.
And then Education Foundation, we met and kind of threw around some ideas and some learning objectives and agenda setting is really what that was about. Unless something you want to add.
Probably just some research role at this point.
Yeah.
Getting some data.
Planning on meeting soon. District calendar review?
Yes, so on page 70, the board will find the calendar events. I do notice an error on here. Thanks to the girls who spoke earlier, the musical at Roosevelt in your calendar should state February 20th through 23rd. There's actually four shows. We also have evening parent-teacher conferences on February 27th and 28th. Evening on the 27th, daytime on the 28th. Casimir Pulaski holiday on the 2nd. And building off Barb's comments, on March 3rd, we have a couple of presentations, but one of them will feature at the Committee of the Whole, Kelly O'Connor, who will be coming to bring greetings to the board and share some information about the Positive Youth Development Committee and the Strategic Prevention Framework, which is the grant that's funding a lot of the work that's being done in both Oak Park and River Forest. Of course, the next board meeting is March 16th. With, hard to believe I'm saying this, spring break between March 23rd and the 27th.
Daylight savings time is March 8th.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow.
Almost tomorrow. Feels like it.
It's pretty close. Yeah. Longer days.
Well, if we're revising board documents for the record, then Mimi is in eighth grade.
Oh, did it say seventh?
Seventh grade students.
You do have to get that one right.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Ed. And superintendent's report.
Yes, yeah, so we have a few things tonight, just the one action item, but then, as you know, several information items. the first, well, the action item, you'll see on page, starting on page 74, we needed to come back to the board and ask for your approval in revising the school calendar for next year. You'll note that there is a changed date of a professional development that was moved from January to April. Is that correct?
From ISB calendar, it was accurate. There was a discrepancy between an ISB calendar that was submitted and the top cover sheet that goes on top of the note that there. So if it was here and the cover sheet, it's supposed to be accurate. So the calendar, it sounds like it's accurate.
Yes. So long story short, what we're asking for this evening would be your approval of an updated calendar document so we can post it on the website.
Yeah, people are jonesing for that.
Well, it's important that it's correct. So.
Yes, that's the understatement.
Yes. So anyway.
Action item.
Yes, so we'd love to vote to formally approve that.
Questions before I ask for a motion to approve?
That was the only change.
Can I get a motion to approve the revised school calendar for the 2020-21 school year?
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Williams?
Yes.
Dr. Thompson?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Mrs. Hickey?
Yes.
Mrs. DeGracius?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mrs. Avalos?
Yes.
And I will ask Anthony to please speak to our first information item, the long-range facilities plan.
Okay, you see, starting on page 79, the memo of the first draft of the long-range facility plan. Different from what you've seen in the past, there will be a second draft on this one. Normally, at this time, we have all of our projects, at least the ones that we've discussed with the building engineers and the principals. We've walked the buildings, and we highlighted the things and moved things forward or back from previous years. In this year, while we've done all that, this report does not include any of the life safety report items because the state has not approved it yet. Normally, I would put a complete separate section and also other category reports, taking all the individual line items from all the school buildings and categorizing them by type of work, and have another life safety section. And then for the non-life safety, as I've done in the past three or four years, break those down to those areas that are repair, replace, preventative, and then in comparison to those, the ones that are considered new improvement. You don't see that this time, just because of that life safety report. So rather than have all the other categories listed here, I will come back to you as soon as that report is finalized by the State Board of Ed and update this report. For the items that are on this list right now, there won't be any changes. Except they'll be categorized and shown whether they're a new improvement or preventative. But as far as the individual listings, the first section is Lincoln School Administration, then the second one is Roosevelt, and the third one is Willard. In addition to not having the life safety items, there are actually life safety items that are on here that we thought might be life safety items and were on previous reports. So I didn't want to take those off because it would skew the numbers, knowing that they'll be on anyway. But I wanted you to understand that we didn't take off the window project at Roosevelt, and we didn't take off the HVAC project. Well, that's not even life safety, but I'm just saying there are things that that we kept on, knowing that even if they were a life safety project, I wanted to leave them on here, showing that they have been accounted for in general. So as you can see down at the bottom of each page, so the bottom of page 81, you'll see that there is not any real significant year in the work for this amount other than what you've already discussed. The one thing that's not on here is the air conditioning project for Lincoln and Willard. We know that Roosevelt has been discussed and you've come to consensus on that. But I guess we're waiting to see how that goes to come to consensus again on the Lincoln and Willard project for the next year. The roof is the largest project on Lincoln/administration. It's moved forward 1 year. For Roosevelt School, you can see the air conditioning project estimate is on here. The windows are on here. We'll eventually move off. But other than that, there aren't any other significant projects. Just as if last year when we saw that we were getting into this phase of not having a lot of significant projects due to the fact that we're going to have all this life safety work. Willard School, also, you do not see any significant projects. This is after a thorough walking of the areas with the building engineers. Are there any questions at all about the format, how this will be a second draft? Yes, Kel.
So some of this could be life safety, like you said.
Yeah, essentially the ones that will be life safety will be the windows. That's really,
doors.
Pardon me?
Doors.
And possibly doors, yes, sorry.
Okay, and these are all estimates?
Yes. Even if it was on the approved life safety project, that's an estimate from our certified architect. Everything over 50,000 has to go to public bid.
Public bid.
Yes.
Okay, so is there a ceiling that, what makes it, what puts a cap on an increase? Or is there a cap on an increase?
On an increase. You mean in terms of change orders?
Yeah.
If there's a change.
Well, no, like say the roof is 250.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a roof done before, similar square footage, and it was 200, like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a 20% increase, 25% increase.
Yes.
Can we, I mean, is there like a cap on the price?
Well, no, especially something like that, and it's a good example with the roof. The roof would have to be publicly bid.
Right.
My apologies again. That would also be a possible life safety one. But let's, regardless of life safety or not. So we put out a public bid, and this 250 is merely a guess.
Right.
So it comes in at 227, or it comes in at 277. There's nothing that's why we are publicly bidding it. That's the market for a roof in the year that we're bidding it. Nothing holds that to being 377. That's your choice to say, wow, that came in a lot more than our architect, our roofing consultant thought. Is that roof really needed? And I would say, using this as an example, we have a roof survey and a roof schedule, and this is something that roof is probably going to be about 25 years old at that time. You may just be the victim of needing to do that job at whatever the market brought that year.
Okay.
I think I'm answering your question that way.
Yeah.
But these are decisions you would have to make if it wasn't an emergency. For example, if it were talking about, moving a flagpole, let's say for some unknown reason that was $60,000 and it came in at 84. Not that it would, it's only 5,000 on here, but just for example. Then we don't move the flagpole this year. You know, it's maybe not a priority. Not everything on here is an emergency.
Right.
That's why you do public bid. We just had the walkthrough for the Roosevelt Air Conditioning Project. We had 13 contractors here. Some of them were subs of other contractors, but we're hoping to get 6 or 7 qualified bidders at the bid opening that's happening very soon. That would give us a representative sample from the metropolitan area for qualified contractors that we're aware of. You don't generally come in from Minnesota just to come. That's why we do pre-bid walkthroughs, so we don't get just some random guy mailing it in.
Okay.
And we hope we get something that's a good market, value for that project. But there's no cap to that. If they all come in high, several years ago when the Roosevelt Exterior project was bid out, the first time you bid it out, it came in about $500,000 more than what the board really was comfortable with, so they said we're not doing it, and then we went back and did a scope revision to the project to try to get the scope down so that it would be more amenable to our finances.
And did it come down?
Yeah, because we changed this, we lowered the scope.
We changed the, yeah. Changed our sites.
That's yeah. Right. So yeah, there's nothing. Now, there are construction project management firms that could say, we will guarantee, or we'll do everything we can to guarantee that it will come in at a certain level, or you can do a design build like you did for the Univent project, in which they gave us an estimate prior because they had gotten the award from the National Cooperative of Purchasing Alliance for that type of project, and they said it's going to be $997,000, and that you don't even have to go out to bid. You're exempt from going out to bid on a project like that, and that's the dollar amount. Any change order, anything that happens, it's on them. That's why that was an attractive project to do in that format. Some of these other projects, like the air conditioning one, is probably too big of a scope for something like that. But that's something where you know there's a cap based on that estimate.
But with working with architects and engineers, working with them, and then knowing labor costs per hour, knowing the cost of the actual parts we're putting in, you guys can come fairly close.
Yeah, I will say that our architect is famous for overestimating. Not too much. I mean, then it's not even a quality estimate. But I mean, I don't think he's for fear of coming in too low.
You may not be famous for that.
Wow.
Famous for every time he comes here, it's like freaking
gloom and.
Sure, I'll take that. Does that answer your question?
So yeah, you overestimate.
A little bit.
A tinge.
Yeah.
Okay, but
contingency.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, there's always going to be an upcharge, no matter what. So it's good that he's putting it in.
No.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
That's a question of clarification. You said that we approved air conditioning for Roosevelt, but not for Lincoln or Willard. Right, what we approved was getting the cost.
Yeah, if I said approved, let me clarify, just like I wouldn't want to just say people are famous for things.
or infamous for things.
Or infamous.
You said consensus. The board
said the board came to consensus that we should go forward with and research, look into.
That's not what you
said. I have the tape right in front of me.
Okay. Put a bet on that one.
Okay.
But thank you.
Sure.
And so the last, go ahead.
Yes, just so you know, say, we are going out for public bid on that. You have every right, because the board will have the opportunity and requirement to approve that project.
Thank you. Right.
Or disapprove.
Thank you.
And that does require a formal board vote.
Right. Correct.
Hopefully the estimates were high.
And so why are we moving the flagpole?
There's a real issue in the Lincoln Reading Garden with drainage. And
part of the drainage.
Part of the drainage.
Okay. Okie doke.
No other questions about any individual line on any of the facility plan? Okay.
And we'll see this back again, color coded in April.
Contingent on when ISBE approves the life safety report. They better do it soon because April we are starting. Get close to our BINA hearing for our bond sale for life safety bonds. So,
good point.
I'll keep you posted.
Okay, great.
I'm famous for
you.
Always keeping people posted.
That's true.
This document does represent a lot of work.
That's accurate. That was accurate.
So, our next information item is regarding the D90 strategic planning process. We have a couple of documents in the board packet starting on page 86. And of course, we have couple of board members who are participants in that process. So I'll just kind of describe what these documents are, and if, of course, they want to jump in and share any thoughts, we're obviously welcome to do that. The first is the agenda for the most recent retreat, which was held on the 13th. This is affectionately known as the Strategic Planning Setting Direction Retreat, which really is... it's the point where the rubber meets the road. All of the previous meetings and retreats are all about coming to consensus around ideas and visions and aspirations, understanding data. It is at this retreat where the strategic planning team members really had to work with the specific goals and had to look at core values and had to come to terms with what we, you know, collaboratively, that group of 40 people, believe about District 90. Some great work was done. You can see the agenda that's in your packet had a number of different activities that day. All of them circled around refining verbiage and coming to agreements. At the end of the day, there was a really nice kind of consensus building activity around the priorities that each table team had identified throughout the day's work. You'll see, starting on page 88 in your packet, the findings from the previous full day retreat, which was called the Vision Retreat. That document's probably a dozen pages long or so, and culminates in the back with what were called the preferred future statements. Our facilitator, Carrie Sodwittle, took the work that we did at the Vision Retreat and compiled that into three different iterations of preferred future statements, which were the building blocks of the Setting Direction Retreat that was held just last week. And of course, that document now lives on the website, as will the culminating findings of the Setting Direction Retreat that we did just last week. That's in the process of being edited and should hopefully be posted in the next day or two. So everything is really inching towards a conclusion. Perry sent a copy of his draft recommended strategic plan. It's still in very rough form. It's all proposed language. And right now we're working at formatting on that and sending it back to him. The next step will be taking that draft proposed strategic plan language and sending it back out to stakeholders with a brief survey to request how they feel about the language. The questions are pretty much yes or no, and they're all around the idea of can you live with this language? Does this language reflect what you believe and know about River Forest District 90? And then we'll gather those survey responses and make final recommendations at the March strategic planning meeting. It's an evening meeting of just a couple hours long. And then at that point, after the core team has met, which is a group of just five or six strategic planning members, the strategic planning team's work will be done. They will issue their recommended strategic planning document to you all, and then, of course, as the board, it's entirely in your purview to decide what you want to do with that, whether it's modify it or accept it as it is. Or usually there are some revisions that are made, but it's exciting to be at this point. And I can't say enough good things about the individuals who are participating on the team. It's amazing how committed everyone has been. 40 people that represent all sorts of different perspectives and roles and stakeholder groups within the village and the school district, and all of them have come to the table with a really open and genuine desire to help District 90 be the best it can be. So it's really exciting. Do you have anything to share about what we've done or where we go from here?
I'll be echoing what you said. It was really difficult to kind of tear down all of those different core values that we think are very important, but try to put something together that's more palatable versus a really long document. And again, everyone around the table, or all the tables, they're really, you know, here to make this a better place. And so it's nice to see the different vision and different way people look at things, mm-hmm. and just having those conversations. I think it can help us, you know, do that paring down and trying to do something that makes us look towards the future and how we want, you know, our school to be like a model, and how that looks different from now. Things that we hold, you know, we hold dear. So that was a great exercise. It was difficult, but it was difficult. Yeah.
I really appreciated that the three kind of examples that Perry came up with were sent out to the faculty and staff, and so they part of what we used in our process this last week was to look at what the staff had said about a particular core value or a particular motto, and you know they are the ones who are going to be putting this in action. So for them to feel invested and that they have a voice is really important. And they gave great feedback. And some of the things that I hadn't thought about, just as you know, being on more the parent perspective of it, it was very helpful to consider what the teachers were saying.
Look forward to seeing the final polished presentation.
Well, we're getting a little bit closer all the time, it seems. Our next item is in the on page 101 on the packet, is pertaining to the Illinois Assessment of Readiness. We've included a memo in here from Dr. Hawley, our director of CNI, just updating the board about the upcoming IAR testing this spring. Did you have any information you wish to share?
It is the same as last year.
Didn't.
Buildings will develop their individual schedules, so if parents have questions or family or anybody has any questions, we encourage you to contact the principals directly since every building has their own way of scheduling the assessment.
The IAR along with the park was always online, right? We didn't really do...
Well, this year, this is the year they were hoping to fully get it over to online, get everybody over from pencil paper, so that was their big picture goal this year.
Right.
Thank you. It's nice to have the testing administration time also, just to give you kind of a gander at how long the students spend in the testing. Interestingly, it's actually shorter than it was when the park originally rolled out, but I think if you ask most of our students, they would say it's still plenty long enough.
I think.
So, yeah. Would you also, Dr. Hawley, be willing to say a word or two about the Excellent Institute Day that our teachers had today? Because it was really productive.
Today, we continue working on our standards-based learning initiative. So our grade level team is working together. One of our consultants, her name is Mandy Stalitz, and she's the author of one of the books that we've been using, the SLC. Read the book last year, as did members of the staff, and continue to work on our units. Pretty nicely. We're now at this, we're almost wrapped through three stages, and we're most of the way through stage one. Our consultant just did a 30-minute quick keynote to get everybody set for the day, kind of set the energy, and then she spent the rest of the day working individually with teams that rotated through with her, and then it was a work day for everybody. So we were able to spread out and dig into the work, and I floated around and took questions, and I'd say it was really, really productive. I'm pleased with the traction that we've gotten and the direction that we're headed in. And I think when you're out, we are in a good spot. So she pretty much said as much that we did the last year. We made a lot of progress with that direction. I think one of the things we focused on, which has been really important, is making sure that we're aligned across grade levels. So horizontally across a grade level, and then vertically looking, you know, K-8s. I noticed in walking from group to group, questions that are coming up in each group are actually the same. They all have the same questions, which to me I think is encouraging. I mean, the alignment looks good, and as they move through the stages, they're kind of moving at a similar pace. I think the K-4 classroom teachers are the furthest ahead because they have the most collaborative time, but the middle school is coming along.
We just answered my question. I was going to ask, you know, were there any groups that had more of an aha moment than others? But you say that the elementary schools kind of have
some really sophisticated ahas and ahas that you can't, when they have questions, you can't immediately answer. So I think the role of the SLC is starting to look at more universal grading practices and beliefs that District 90 has. So they've done a lot of standards work and unit work and the everyday classroom instruction. Questions,
The other thing that's happening, if I may say so, that I'm really proud of our faculty and staff colleagues about is the way in which this standards-based learning work is causing an increased climate around collaboration. Our teachers have always been good partners, and they work well together, and they certainly plan and organize by grade level and by team. But when you have something really worthwhile and substantive that requires time and commitment, you know, over an extended length of time, it requires a different level of dedication. And this has, I think, helped to promulgate a stronger culture of collaboration than maybe what we had had previously, which was more just a good working together kind of relationship. It's more genuine collaboration where all of the members in the grade level team and the department team have contributions to make, and they're honored and they're respected. And, you know, it's exciting to see.
Each other's thinking, nicely also.
Yes.
Because here's a standard, and if you want to determine proficiency, what evidence do you need to gather that shows that a child is proficient? So norming themselves around that, coming to agreement around that, leads to some pretty rich conversations, and they do challenge one another occasionally, push each other's thinking, which is exactly what you want
to
do. It's healthy. It's healthy. It's healthy. It's healthy, and it's, you know, it's what allows for professional development. So I'm pleased that.
Well, standards-based grading systems allow teachers to communicate, you know, what skills are being mastered and which ones are emerging, which ones, you know, need a little extra help with. And so, you know, the lower the grade levels, it's I guess, more readily or apparent, you know, what skill and specific skill that a kid should be working on. You know, and you can a teacher can articulate that pretty well to a parent. The higher the grades, the more generalized it is. Well, just doing okay in math, right? Doing okay in reading, doing okay in English. But what are those specific skills that we can work with our kids at home?
The other activity that took place today, as an aside, however, was for our special education faculty. So they had a full day professional development with a consultant that we've been working with around the topic of gathering student data and using it to inform effective IEPs and parent conferences. And it was outstanding. It was very interactive. She was really engaging, which I think helped. But the teachers worked together in small groups. You know, I'd have to say it was probably one of the best professional development days we've had, although we've had some really good ones the last year, year and a half, so that's a high bar.
That's a good partnership. Yeah. It's nice to see that when you kick off something, it really does, these sorts of initiatives, when they're long for work, when we say 5 to 7 years, it's truly 5 to 7 years, and I think you start to see all of your efforts come together. It's a lot of legwork, and at first it's not sure how all the pieces are going to fit together, but when they finally start to fit, the work really does start to accelerate, and that's what we're starting to see, which is really
And the two really important pieces of gratitude probably to share for that would be to you, Allison, and at least today, to Denise, for the organization and making sure that the professional learning is happening in an aligned, articulated way. So thank you for that. And honestly, to our Board of Ed, because there are a lot of places where a governance team maybe doesn't have that long view and isn't willing to commit to initiatives that are multi-year and at first maybe don't feel like they're producing immediate results, but here in District 90, you've always been supportive of that, so we're grateful to that. You've given us the birth to do some really important work, so we appreciate your leadership on that front. Which brings us, no coincidence, to the Board of Ed meeting calendar, proposed meeting calendar for the coming year. So, you know, your board members will find this on page 104 in your packet. If you ever wanted to know where you likely would be on Monday, April 19th, 2021, we think we could tell you.
It's actually not that far off.
It's really not that far off. It's shocking. You'll see there are a few asterisks on this, just like this year. Oftentimes, those board meetings in the winter months fall on federal holidays, so we push them to Tuesday. The other one that's a little bit challenging, to be honest, is
December.
yes, December, where you'll see that, you know, it's challenging to have a board meeting too early in the month because you have to approve the bill list. And it takes the business folks a little time to put that together.
I did look back in 2009, it was the same date.
Was it? Okay.
That's why I was okay with this.
Since 2009. Yeah. So.
We didn't pay anything that month, but. You know.
Right. So this is a draft. You know, our hope would be to bring it back to you next month with the request for approval. In the interim, of course, if you see something that's either in error or you'd like to see changed, please feel free to reach out to Richard.
And can I say one thing? The
please.
Monday, May 3rd, that's the reorganization meeting.
Yes.
It has been done.
Yes.
It has to be done within a certain number of days after the election day. We always give us one day grace in case there's a tornado. So. Or something else.
Yes. All right, and that brings us to the last information item you'll find on page 105 in your packet. This year, the National School Board Associations have chosen lovely Chicago as the location for their national conference. So it'll be held between April 4th and 6th. Believe it or not, they couldn't tell us where. Until about 2 weeks, I couldn't believe it. They said
tell us, but then they didn't kill us.
So
please tell me it's not at.
Yeah, it is at McCormick Center. So Tracy had to get on the phone and call. Apparently, there was some labor issue they had to resolve before they could commit.
Yeah.
But if you're interested,
our usual suite.
Right at 60305.
No suite, no park.
And that would be my office, right? Right?
Blue line direct.
So, right. We would love to have you attend if you're interested. Of course, it falls on a weekend, so I know many of our board members have lots of obligations and busy lives. But Tracy will reach out to you with an email. And if you'd like you to go to a park.
Done this before.
Never. I don't know. I will share that typically these types of conferences, they want the whole kit and caboodle.
They want all of your money.
But it's still a value, even if we have to pay for 3 days and you see things that are one day, it's, you know, we would much prefer to have you do what works for you than maybe not attend and miss out on something. It is usually, school board association things are usually fairly competitive in price. Triple I is the one that they seem to increase those costs every year. I'm not sure what that's about, but that could be.
Well, thank you for that.
So that's our report.
And so now I would need a motion to move to closed session to discuss collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees.
Motion to go into closed session.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Second.